Transform the way you hunt with the all-new Base cellular trail camera connected by the Moultrie mobile app. Moultrie Mobile's industry-best app gives you complete control over your camera settings, up-to-the-minute updates from the field, and other interactive scouting tools on your smartphone or computer. Features like weather forecast, advanced species recognition, interactive maps, and a whole lot more. For more information and to make your purchase, visit www.moultriemobile.com.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast with your hosts, Nate, Micah, and returning guest, Ethan McCabe. How are we doing, bud?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well. It's hot as heck out again, but...
A little spicy today.
It's summertime, and it's the Midwest, so what do you expect?
Second week in a row we've done where guest host has just started the show with us, and we're going all the way through.
Yeah. I like it better that way. That way we don't have to come back and do our thing and take up more time.
But. Ethan, why don't you say hi to Andy?
Hi, Andy.
Oh, wait, you can't.
He's hiding.
He's not here.
Yeah.
I brought you a present, but I don't know if they're going to share it with you.
Nope.
Probably not. We ain't even going to mention that to him. We'll just keep that on the DL. He ain't going to listen to this, so we don't have to worry about him hearing about it either.
He doesn't ever listen to his own show.
No. Which I don't know if that's a... I don't know if you should do that or shouldn't.
Well, I have to.
I know you do because you do all the editing, but I don't know if you're supposed to listen to your own show.
I'm just going to get ready for the end of the show right here.
Oh, actually, I had a few in mind. I'll forget them by the time we get to the end of the show.
But, probably.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and knock out some sponsors.
Let's do some sponsors right quick before we get into our show today with Ethan.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today? Get a little teaser to the listener.
You want me to say it or you want him to say
it? Ethan, what are we talking to you about?
Oh, I went on a little adventure. Went to Idaho and had a spring bear hunt.
Yes, you did.
And that's where we're going to leave it for now.
Yeah, we'll start there.
You went bear hunting. We're going to talk about it. By the way, shout out to Working Class Bowhunter. Not that we're copying their show, but they just did a show about a couple shows in a row but from their bear hunt.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
oh, nice.
I actually still have one to listen to. They dropped two this week, and then they just talked about it, like right before we had them on too.
Oh, okay.
But we just got lucky enough because Ethan is kind of living in Colorado right now and only home at certain
times. 2 days,
times.
Really?
Yeah, a couple days here, a couple days there.
So yeah, we'll get into that.
You texted me 2 days ago and said, "Hey, we're going to be home Thursday through Saturday," and I said, "I'm gonna come over Thursday night," and here we are recording, which worked out because. Our other show fell through for this week.
Yeah.
So.
Worked out good.
Worked out pretty good. Ethan's filling in like the man, and he's just going to be a week earlier because we were going to try to do this anyway. So, yeah, let's knock out some sponsors before we get into it.
Yeah. Midwest Gunworks. Have you been shooting any?
No, not really.
It's been hot. I've been wanting to go out and do a little bit more coyote hunting, but by the time I get off work, it's too toasty. And I'm not cool enough to get invited to go into these morning hunts like you and
I listened Andy back to that Austin. Show. I listened back to that show. You literally said no on the show.
I did say no.
Well, I have to be in Great Valley by 8. I can't.
Well, that was the only time. Y'all, they've been other times.
I haven't been. That was the only time I went.
I even was on Austin's live feed last night, and he was saying, "Oh, I need to check this place out in the morning." I was like, "Can I go to that one?" He's like, "No. No, you can't."
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he did. He was just like, "No, dude." I was like... Okay, well, F me then, I guess, huh? So.
I watched that one for a few minutes. I'm not very good at watching stuff live.
Well, it's kind of funny because he had a live feed for, it was over an hour. I don't know exactly how long. And then he gets off of it, and then he kills a coyote after the live feed was over. So that's pretty funny.
That's how it works sometimes.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
But we do have some new spots we need to check out soon.
Yeah, that's true.
Of an evening. Some hay's getting cut around us finally.
Yeah.
Need to try that out.
But if you guys are thinking about building a new coyote rig for this coming up, you know, later in the season once things start cooling down and you're wanting to get out there, go check out Midwest Gunworks. You can use the code MWW5 for 5% off. So nice. Every little bit helps, man.
Ethan, do the next one. Which one you want to go with?
Oh, Let's go with River's Edge Tree Stands.
Yep.
I've used some of their stuff back in the day.
Have you?
Before I switched over to my saddle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You are a saddle hunter.
Yeah.
I got a funny picture I'm going to show you later here in a little bit.
is it a guy wearing a thong?
No. They got a mannequin. It's a guy in a mannequin, and he's got his pants down to his knees, and he's using his saddle like he's taking a shit. He's just sitting there. He's like what real saddle hunters do or something like that. It made me chuckle.
Check out River's Edge. Use the code Missouri10, spelled out, for 10% off any hang-on or ladder stands with them.
Yep.
Got some stuff I'll be hanging hopefully in the next few weeks.
I'm hoping to do – well, I'm at least going to try to clear some trails out, maybe get a stand hung or two Monday or Tuesday. So we'll see what happens.
That's my plan. Let's run through – you know, we certainly love our sponsors. They're great, but let's run through the rest of these and get to the meat and potatoes of this. Cuddyback Trail Cameras. If you can find one right now, get on cuddybackdigital.com. Use the code MOWW22 for 10% off. Awesome partner of ours.
Yep.
Pretty popular at the moment. Lucky Buck, I'll be dumping a bucket at least this next week. So
yeah,
check out luckybuckmineral.com.
Need to do the same.
OnX, certainly time to start thinking about maps. We actually talked about that before we record.
Yep. Yeah, we were looking at units that you're in Colorado and ones that we're going back to and that sort of thing. So
go to onxmaps.com. Have to do it on the computer or your phone. And use the code MWW20 for 20% off any map service. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, Camo Fire. Flash sale, obviously. Love their stuff. They actually have stuff full of Alps gear today.
Yep, a lot of Alps things.
So if you listen to this, go back in time to the night we're recording this and buy your Alps stuff.
Maybe it'll be back around by the time you guys listen.
Yeah, they have Alps stuff on here quite a bit.
Ooh, yeah.
Peak refuel meal. That thing's good.
Oh, you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Beef chili mac. That sounds horrible, though.
Nah, that one's actually pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I haven't really messed with too many of those, you know, mountain food type stuff.
I got a freaking closet full of them.
I know.
Just haven't used them.
Nope, they're good.
So check them out, camofire.com. And then finally, Black Ovis.
Yep, sister company of Camo Fire, or I guess Camo Fire is a sister company of Black Ovis. Or how's that work?
I don't think it really matters.
I don't know if it matters or not.
But check them out. Yeah. They got some sales going on right now, some giveaways.
Yep.
Obviously, we talked about the Error ID Builder. And honestly, the great value it is.
Yeah,
having to do the work yourself.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we got on the show. He's probably going to be getting some ordered here pretty soon, so go check it out.
Yep, use the code MWW10 for 10% off any order you make. Thanks to our sponsors. You know, don't want to go in crazy depth every single week, trying to do a better job of thanking them and moving on. But, hey, that was the fastest we really probably got through it.
Probably so.
So let's talk about bear hunting.
How long has this been in the making?
It's been a couple of years in the making. So,
was it one of those things where you were just like, I'm going to do it, or did you got a buddy that you guys kind of got together and like, you know what, let's do this?
So I got a buddy. He used to live in Kansas City. Met him on Facebook through a trappers group. He was getting into trapping, had some questions. We were talking about it and whatnot. Well, then he moved to Idaho, and he got to hunting up there. And he first year he was a resident, he killed a big bear. And put it on Facebook, and I was talking to him about it, and I'm like, dude, I've always wanted to go bear hunting. It's always been one of my bucket list hunts.
Right.
And he's like, well, come up. I'm like, well, you know, we got a plan on that, because I still had, like, my typical Midwest hunting gear, like your Carhartts and stuff that is not suited for hunting in a mountain.
Right. Yeah, you got to
– This was before I discovered base layers and merino wool.
Right.
That whole side of hunting, that was a –
Wait, I thought it was just cotton.
Yeah, no, you will never catch me in cotton ever again.
No, nope, not ever again, I'll tell you that.
So, that was his first year. He killed a nice bear. We've talked about it off and on. And then he was like, dude, come up next year. And I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to get married next year that time. So, I was like, I'm not doing that one.
I'm not going to poke the bear on that one.
Yeah, so let's plan it for 2 years out.
Da-dunch.
So, we planned it for a couple years out. And he was telling me, so up there he baits.
Okay.
So he's allowed to have 3 bait barrels per Idaho fishing game. So he's telling me, you know, the cost of bait and stuff, and I was just chipping in my portion of it and then helping him pay for fuel to drive up there and bait it and whatnot. So figuring that stuff out, he'd send me trail cam pictures. His second year, he killed a monster of a bear in that same general area.
So is this on private land?
Public.
So you can – so, like – and he's a resident, right?
Yep, he's a
resident. So you're a resident – And do you have to, like, put in, say, hey, I want this many bait piles or however they do it, or do they just assign you, you can have this many?
So I think you can have three. Okay. So you got to buy the bands or tags or whatever for them. You have to band the location.
Move your phone a little bit back. There you go.
So
get a little feedback.
So he's allowed to have a couple bait barrels. He needs to mark where they're at and stuff so he knows where they're at. And then it's just go up, and there's a certain day they can put the bait barrels out, start baiting on that day. I don't know how far in advance before season starts or if it's, like, right at season starts.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it just deals with how you can get access up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they had a lot of heavy rains, late snows that kind of screwed him where he wasn't able to get the bait barrels up there as early as he wanted to this year.
Right.
So we thought maybe that was going to kind of mess us up a little bit. But thankfully it didn't. But so he was able to get the bait barrels up there. Every couple of days goes up there with a bucket of bait, food, snacks, whatever he could find.
Right, old donuts and like, yeah, sort of thing.
So old donuts, old fryer grease from kitchens and stuff. It's anything that puts off a smell, any oily things that, like, a bear gets into it, gets on their pads, and then they track it back to where their den is. Other bears will come across that scent trail, follow it to the barrel, and then they go back to their spot. So really it's just spreading that scent all throughout the mountain.
Really?
I mean, I learned a lot.
Right.
I learned a lot. It'd be cool if we could apply that to Missouri. I don't know if we'll ever.
With our bear season?
Yeah, with our bear season. I don't know if we'll ever get to that point.
I don't know, man. I feel, and maybe not, because, you know, obviously Missouri, we're
still new.
Yeah.
New to bear hunting.
New to bears.
Yeah, we only got, what, like 800? They think about 800 bears
something
in the state.
Like that.
Was it that many? Yeah. I thought it was less than that. I thought it was like 5 or 6.
No, I think
is it
800 growing like 8% or
don't,
something every
question,
year?
Don't ever question.
Which,
me.
Shout out to Bryce, friend of the show. He actually drew a bear
oh,
tag.
Oh, yeah,
this
yeah.
Year.
Bryce drew
did.
A tag.
Yeah.
I know another buddy. He drew a tag. So we were talking about it on our Snapchat messages.
Yeah.
But it's, I think it would be a smart move for the conservation department to head that way because you're allowed to be super selective on a barrel when it comes up to a barrel.
That's true.
You judge it by the size. You can tell, you get a good idea if it's a male, female, just by the size of their head.
Yeah.
As compared to like we're right now, I mean, first bear that walks up, you don't really know how big or small it really is.
Especially us Missourians that more than likely have never seen one unless they've gone out of state and seen them. So, yeah. You know, it, like you said, we're still really new to this.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We might get there. Who knows? I mean, there's definitely states out there that let you bait deer and
right.
all that sort of thing. I'm not for it, not against it. It's, you know,
as long as it's legal, I don't
really
let
my
do.
Cup of tea, but
yeah, I mean, if it's legal, it's legal.
That's what a food plot kind of is.
Right. I mean, there's deer and things like that. They're smart enough to know, like, I've never heard of anybody actually killing like a huge deer off of a bait pile, like illegally. Or legally, usually, unless it's like Texas.
Well, I've listened to some podcasts about baiting, like states where it's legal to bait, and really mature whitetails.
They always do it at night. They always hit it at night,
right? They figure out how to enter into a bait pile because they almost know what it is. And so unless you know how to hunt that bait pile, they're going to beat you because mm-hmm. they'll J-hook, they'll do all kinds of crazy stuff to come in that differently. And also, yeah. A lot of them just hit
they'll
it
just
at night.
Wait till night.
Yeah.
So I mean, so like I said, I'm not for it, not against it. It is what it is. It's not legal in our state, so I don't mess with it.
You're a really good fence sitter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, if I went over because you can bait in Kansas, right?
Yep.
I have no clue.
I'm pretty sure you can bait in Kansas. Could be wrong, but I mean, if I went over there, sure, I'd dump a bucket of corn. I mean, it really don't. Yeah, that don't affect me. So because I really don't think it makes that big of a difference. So, like I said, is what it is.
So, but prepping for the hunt, I started collecting my gear and stuff, trying to upgrade things.
Uh-huh.
That's an expensive adventure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I did the smart thing. Got a part-time job working at Bass Pro, using my discount.
Yeah, man. That's
started
a smart
slowly.
Way to do it.
So, did you pretty much spend everything you made?
I don't think I brought
stuff.
Home any money. Honestly.
I mean, that's why it was a part-time job. You got your regular job, and then you got your other job to, you know, take care of that stuff.
Hey, did you buy some Huntworth stuff? Use that code, you know what I'm saying? It's already pretty affordable, so I'm just getting at it.
Unfortunately, I went a different route.
You went First Light?
No, I'm not that expensive.
Okay.
No, I went Kings.
Kings. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with Kings.
No, Kings is good stuff. I love their stuff.
Yep. Got a few buddies that run that stuff. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Badass logo, too. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah. I stopped by their office headquarters on the way
out. Did you?
Yeah. Cool little building. Everybody in there super nice. Treat you like family when you walk in the door.
Really? Nice.
So, if they want to sponsor me, it wouldn't hurt my feelings any. Just saying.
Ethan McCabe, the bearded trapper.
Yeah. Check him out. Check him out.
So, no, it was just collect gear over time. Little here, little there. Yep. Upgrade some stuff. Bought a nice backpack. Bought a Mystery Ranch backpack. Got it with a nice discount. Definitely didn't hurt any. I was before you all in your Alps sponsorship.
Okay. So, which, I mean.
Missed out on that one.
Yeah, that's all right,
and
man.
And that 30% off, too.
Yeah.
That's a steal. That's
a
steal.
Yeah, they come through. But, no, I mean, you got to have a good backpack. And you got to have good gear. Just going out west in general, sure, you could go out there with, like,
people. You can go out there with what you have now. Are you going to have the most enjoyable experience?
Probably not.
Probably not.
No, it ain't no doubt. You can do it with Walmart.
Yeah, you can do
Walmart.
It with, you can do it with blue jeans and a t-shirt if you want to, or long, whatever the weather conditions need. But if you want to be comfortable and not have to worry about your gear failing you if you get wet or something like that, you need to think about upgrading your gear for sure.
Or if it's something that you know you're going to do for a long time.
Right.
It's worth the investment.
Yep. Yeah.
That's for sure.
And you can always bring that stuff back and use it here in the Midwest.
That's what I started doing. Like, I bought a nice set of crispy boots. I bought them last summer. Uh-huh. I wore them every day deer hunting this year just to get the miles in, get them broke in.
So I use everything out west. I use it all here.
Yep. Yeah, it's all the same now. Yep. I sold off a bunch of my stuff that I used at home. Everything's been replaced with everything that I used out there.
Yep.
I mean, I look kind of goofy now walking around with my big Mystery Ranch backpack while I'm deer hunting, but...
That is actually the one thing I did lie, I guess. I do not use my elk hunting backpack hunting whitetail at home.
Well, I have two elk packs now. I got the Traverse X, and I also have
which you could certainly use for whitetail.
And I do.
Yeah.
And I do. I still use that one. I don't use my Commander X, which that's like a six-day pack. So yeah,
that's what that Metcalf is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I hunted more
public. It does the job.
I hunted more public last year, so I had like my game bags and stuff in there. Because I did kill one, there's no way I was dragging it out.
And pack meat too.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, definitely.
No. So it makes sense to use in that. Obviously, with what I do, I could go in with just a little something. It ain't like I got to carry much into the stand here. But when you're out west, you got to think you need enough water to last you all day, if not longer. You got to have food, that sort of thing. So you got
to
have a good
pack meat.
Yeah, pack meat out.
Yep.
So, no.
But honestly, I mean, I'll ask you, Ethan. Two items. You could only purchase two items for your Western hunt. You only get two new things, or two things that you don't already have. You have nothing, okay? So you're going to go out and you get two items. What do you think the two most important things for a Western hunt would be?
Boots would be number one.
That's my number one.
That's a make or break you.
Yeah.
I mean, a bad pair of boots, you're not going to be walking back out the next day.
You can deal with wearing jeans if you had to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'd say a backpack.
That was my number two. Yeah.
Just because you got to be able to have everything. Like, I mean, granted, I didn't need a way to filter water, but I had it just in case.
Yeah.
I did have bottles of water with me so that way I could cook a meal while I was out there with my jet boil, but it was just... I know I took too much when we went and hunted, but I'd much rather had too much than not enough, especially being 19 and a half hours away from home.
Right.
At the same time, my first year out west, I had just a regular backpack because I had people around me that was going to help me out. But I was by myself a few times. I'm like, if I killed something, I am literally effed.
Yep. What are you going to do?
I can't get anything off this mount.
You're going to have to Cam Haines it and throw that over your shoulder
and
just go about your day.
Bro. So that's what I would say is, boots in a pack, so if
spend the money, get good quality
and
boots.
I will say, especially in the boot world, I'm a believer you do get what you pay for most of the time. Yeah. You know, like we're big Zamberland, Russell has Crispies. I mean, those are all high end, top quality boots and you are going to pay for it. Yep. But I hunted my first year out west or maybe,
I don't know.
I don't remember. With just $130 pair of boots, they did fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just what it was. They were fine. I had blisters here and there.
They got you by.
They got me by. My feet didn't love me. So, yeah, I think that's something you, if you're going to pony up a little bit of money, nice pair of boots. And then, I mean, you can get, like, you can get a great Alps pack.
Yeah.
Like your Commander.
Yeah, I think it's $400 for the frame and back. I could.
And those come totally ready to go. They already got the hip pouches, you know, rain flies, all that stuff. They got a new Elite pack coming out in the fall, which I'm excited to try out. If they get it in right before we go.
Gonna give that one a go?
Yeah, I would love to take that one out there. But anyways, so yeah. So you got all your stuff ready.
Mm-hmm.
Got a bunch of new stuff.
Bunch
Started
of
working
stuff.
At Bass Pro just to spend money. What a freaking racket for them. Hey, do you want to work for us? We'll pay you, and I know you're gonna turn right back around and say,
oh yeah. That's most of the employees. I don't know how we bring any money home. Especially on the discount we get on some stuff. It's
I did appreciate you working there because I got, you know, that text every once in a while. Hey, we got ammo.
Hey, you need to come up here real quick.
And hell, he even can I say this?
No, I don't
Can
care.
I say this part?
Yeah.
He even bought me some one time. I'm like, dude, I can't get up there. He's like, how many you want? I'm like, 5 boxes.
As many as they'll let you walk out the door with.
I need it.
Yep. Yeah. It pays to know people, that's for sure.
That it does, that's for sure.
I mean, Bass Pro, they actually do pretty good with their employees about giving a pretty significant discount.
I mean,
you know, on like on especially the like their Redhead, their brand.
Their brand stuff, it's when I was there, it's 45%.
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah.
Other brands, it was 10-15%, whatever. No, like on optics and stuff, it just barely covers the sales tax because it's not the same. But there's other ways to use that employee discount through other companies, which is where it was really at.
There you go.
But
so you got all your stuff.
Got my
stuff ready.
Started hiking, doing a lot of putting in the miles, just trying to get my legs used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Helped that I lost like almost 40-50 pounds.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, because obviously we're friends on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff, and I kind of watched your journey. You put in the work, man. You really did. So
and you're still doing it right now. I mean, you're drinking vegetable jizz right now. So.
Making fun of my greens.
I'm making fun of your green water drink, yes. Yeah,
They're good.
It's vegetable jizz is what it is.
Damn. Some tasty vegetable jizz.
Hey, but when I have my next kidney stone, you can laugh at me.
Yeah. Keep drinking your sodas over there. just remind you of that.
Yeah.
I need to get better.
Yeah. So you did that. You're getting in shape. Was this your first time ever being out in the mountains or anything like that?
First time ever being in the mountains. Before this, I had never been further west than Salina, Kansas.
Oh, okay. So this is a big change for you.
Yeah.
And if you know Salina, it's pretty steep.
Yeah.
You know, on mountains.
Maybe like 10 feet. 10, 15 feet maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big change. Yeah. And probably, did you do anything to prepare yourself for the altitude?
I did. So I use a lot of Mountain Ops supplement. They have one supplement that it kind of helps with increase your blood flow and everything like that, and helps with altitude sickness. Started taking it a couple days before I headed out.
Is it a little purple pill? Or?
No. it's called Solitude. Yep. It's some good stuff, though. I use all their vitamins and stuff. It's.
I need to get some of that for this next year. I haven't used it. I used it one time. Remember that one?
Was it the Ignite or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know
what
it was.
What's the boot, like the energy one? Is it Ignite?
It was Russell's or Pat's.
Yeah, he drank one of those because it's just a powder. You put it in a bottle of water. It was like you were on Coke. Like he was
I have one of those every
jumping
morning.
Up and down, like
every
ready
morning.
To go. I was like, dude, you need to settle
I
down.
I ran down a mountain and back up it. Well, they were all just like, you – mother, did you seriously bring us down here to see the view? Yep, looks great. Let's go.
That was the steepest incline I've ever been on in my life. And we get down there, and he just wanted to walk down there just to look at the view.
That's we've not already, totally true, but that was part
I
of
mean,
it.
The idea was hopefully there might be an elk somewhere. But
we're going on a nature hike with our bows, guys. Come on.
And this was like towards the tail end of the hunt, you know, so we've already been out there 4 or 5 days. I can't remember exactly when we went. So we're already pretty tired. And we go down there, and I'm talking, I don't know what degree angle it was, but you could – stand up and you could just put your hand out and you could touch the ground because it was like right in your face. Like, this is stupid. Why?
This is a horrible idea.
So yeah.
They're all cranky at the bottom and I'm like, this is gorgeous. All right, let's go. I had some cranky
yeah.
friends the rest of the day.
We had to stop midway. I think we all took a nap midway because we were like, no, we can't do this no more.
The only problem with that stuff was I crashed.
Did you?
Later.
I don't remember. Remember that part. But
that shit definitely worked, whatever it was. It tasted good, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that's my everyday routine. All their stuff.
You're not a coffee guy.
I mean, I drink my coffee, too, now every now and then. But, every morning before work, I'll have me my Ignite, my water on the way to work. You guys make fun of me. They're still trying to wake up at work, and I'm like, let's go.
Let's do this.
I need to try some more of that.
Yeah. Had to get a case ordered or something.
Do you think it actually does have Coke in it?
Dude, I don't know, man. You sure act. Maybe it's just your small stature.
Nate shows up to work and there's just Mountain Ops powder all over his face.
Just doing lines of it. Just
let's go. Dude, I hope nobody from Mountain Ops listens.
Shut them.
They're onto us.
Oh, man.
They got it.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, those guys are awesome. I stopped by their headquarters, too, when I was on my
Jesus,
layout.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, you just stopped by all of them, didn't you?
So Kings was south of Salt Lake City, and Mountain Ops was just north of Salt Lake City. And I had to kill like a half a day in Salt Lake City anyway. So I was just like, go here, buy this, go here, swing by, see what's up.
Not a bad idea.
That's pretty sweet. Did you work out with them? Was Brian Brian Cole? Is that it?
No, yes, there was only
there
a couple.
There is a Brian Cole. Yeah.
There was only a couple people in the office that day.
Okay, ain't his office there in the Mountain Ops headquarters now? I thought it was because he's a big podcaster, or whatever.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, but
I walked in. There was just a couple people working. A lot of them work remote, but they're in office like on a certain couple days during the week.
Gotcha.
Is this podcast called The Last Call?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. So. Yeah.
No, I can't. I'll have to look it up now.
No need. I'll do it. You just keep talking.
But so you got to visit some places.
Yeah, I paid the light bill at a couple places.
There you go.
Swing by and see what was up.
Yeah. It's like, I'll just buy it now instead of waiting. But I don't think that's it.
No, that ain't it.
That's not it. So. But anyways.
Just keep going.
The tag. Is that a draw tag or over the counter?
OTC tag.
Over the counter. Is it, did you go for, I know you went for rifle, but is that an either tag?
Either tag. So, but if you wanted to bow hunt, you did have to have your bow hunter's education.
I'm an idiot. It's the Gritty podcast. Gritty Bowman. I knew that.
So that was the bonus. I had already taken my bow hunter's education class here in Missouri.
Uh-huh.
So to like do the Kansas City parks hunts, you have to have your bow hunter's education.
Is that new?
I started applying for it last year, and that was new to me. Because like, I'm used to the conservation department's draws, and then I found out about the Kansas City Parks draws, which is separate.
Okay.
But you have to have your bow hunter's education for a lot of those. So I just went ahead and did it a couple years ago.
So what do you have to do for that?
It's an online class.
Just an online class. Say, I can pull one back and point in the right direction type thing.
And I know how to climb up a tree stand safely, wear my harness, tie off. It's super simple stuff.
Because we were talking to... we were talking to somebody and they kind of got in trouble, kind of not. It's up in the air. Well, I'm not going to get into it. But one of the deals was that they were shooting their bows in Jackson County. And they said, you don't even have your Jackson County or your bow license or whatever it was. And we're like, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
that's not a thing.
Yeah, that's not a thing. So I don't know if they were wrong. If she, I don't know. But so I just recently heard about this, and so I kind of interested. Maybe I need to get mine. I don't know.
I figured better be safe than sorry, because some states won't allow you to bow hunt if you don't have it.
Yeah.
So I bit the bullet, just did it online.
Yeah. And it transfers over there, so you can.
And it shows up on your hunter's education card. They'll get you a new one. It says bow hunter ID.
Okay.
So that was nice. So I just it was an OTC tag. My buddy told me what unit we were going to be in because I was clueless. Like, this is all new to me.
Right.
So, got there early, went into the Bass Pro there in Boise, went and bought my tag, non-resident hunting license, and then my bear tag. It's good for either sex, either weapon, bow, or rifle.
Okay.
And then...
Well, that kind of takes some pressure off you, doesn't it? On either sex?
Yeah.
Because, like,
either sex, but then, like, in the regulations, so, like... If there is a sow with cubs, you can't shoot her.
Mm-hmm.
She's off limits.
Right.
So that's why it's nice, like, if you're hunting over a bait barrel, a bear comes in, you have time to watch them to make sure it wasn't like a sow coming in first, just to check it out and make sure it's safe. And the cubs come running in later.
That's got a nasty thought.
So it's just one of those.
Hey, show me your dick.
Yeah.
Roll over. You want to check your belly?
You got some titty milk or what? We digress.
So, like, and I was clueless, like, to be able to sex a bear by looking at it. That's
right. No.
New to me.
I like, just, the way
again,
I think.
That would be my way.
Right. Like, the way I would think about it is the male is probably going to be bigger. Sure. But if you don't have numerous bears in front of you, how are you going to guess?
Yeah. How do you know? I mean, you have no idea.
Right.
I mean, my saving grace was I was hunting with my buddy.
Yeah.
And then with his buddy that was with us. I mean, there was three of us in camp. Brandon had already shot his bear, so he was tagged out. So he was hanging out with me, just making sure that I wasn't going to die in the mountains.
Right.
And then just kind of coaching me along and helping me. So that was the good thing. So originally, we were supposed to be camping on public ground, but the forest road that they normally drive to go to where they camp out at, the week before I got there, they had a good heavy rain, and a beaver dam had busted, flooded out the road. So the access to that spot was gone.
Great.
So thankfully, he had made friends with a landowner whose private property butted up to the public, and they allowed us to access public through their spot.
Nice.
So we camped out at their house, which was nice, made things a lot nicer, other than the hill we had to walk down was straight down pretty much to get down to the forest road and then to walk in on public.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the coolest part ever. I mean, people up there are just... I mean, people like you and I, they welcomed us. Granted, he had probably knocked on 100 plus doors the year before trying to get access to this from the backside, and everybody told him no, and it was the last door he knocked on.
Yeah.
They finally told him yeah.
Yeah.
And they're amazing people. I mean, definitely be going back, and they say, you guys can camp here whenever you want. This is, you guys know what you're doing, being respectful. It was phenomenal.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've been out to Colorado a handful of times, and we've run into, you know, the locals that are really awesome, and we've run into a few that are kind of got their nose up in the air, be like, dude, we're locals, okay? We're better than you because you're out-of-staters or whatever, but for the most part, everybody's really cool, you know? So that's pretty awesome that you guys made that connection, and now that's going to lead to hopefully, you know, more hunts and more access, so...
But so it was, got up there. I was supposed to be there for 5 days. First night, we set up camp, went down, sat and watched over the bait barrel. That was the night that I had the coyote come walking in.
Okay.
Walking in downwind, or upwind. Just sitting there by this log, and all of a sudden I just catch something move out of the corner of mine. Here comes this coyote, five yards. Goes bebopping down the mountain, and he gets down there, probably around the bait barrel. But he caught Brandon's trail that he walked in on, and then turned around and came walking right by. And I was like, I can shoot you because I bought my non-resident hunting license, which includes small game.
Small game.
But I'm like, this is night one. This is a hot area. I'm like, I really don't want to ruin it.
Right.
I looked at him and Brandon's like, you shoot him if you want. And I'm like, nah, we'll just watch him.
Ethan, day three.
Don't you remember, have you ever listened to our show?
Oh, just
we've never We've never said it about bears, but I'm going to tell you now. Not every coyote hunt is a bear hunt.
But every bear.
But every bear hunt's a coyote hunt.
It could have been.
Now you remember for next year, okay?
It was really tempting. I mean, the 40 was right there, so I'm like, I don't have to use the 30-06. I can use the pistol, but I was like, nah, just watching.
Yeah.
Take a Snapchat. Send
They're
it
bigger, aren't they?
This one, I mean, it was a good sized dog. He was still well furred out, which
really?
Is really surprising.
Well, now, I would.
He did have a thicker fur.
I would assume that they would, you know, obviously carry their fur a lot longer than they do around here, just for the weather. But I've seen some gorgeous coyotes out west.
I mean, it was nice. And that was like a first-hand experience on thermals and paying attention to that.
Because,
I mean, we were sitting like halfway up the mountain, but he came on the top side of us, so the thermals were carrying our scent down. He had no idea.
So it was of an evening.
Yep, it was an evening.
Yeah.
And so that was, I mean, that was my first experience, is like realizing that stuff. Because I was like, how did he not wind us?
Right.
Like,
thermals are almost more important out west than the wind is. Wind is obviously important.
Wind's
too.
Important, but
thermals.
Thermals are king. It seems like thermals are king.
Almost king out there, yeah.
Because I can't think of a day that we were out there where there was like
across winds.
So, like, yeah, or like really strong winds, you know, and I'm sure they get them, but it was always just coming down in the morning, going up in, during the day, and then it comes back down once it cools off again, whatever. But I've never noticed the winds going, you know, left to right up the mountain, but I'm sure they do.
Certainly some swirling going on. But
sure.
Oh, that's for sure.
Just
experienced that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So that was the first evening. Just saw a coyote, no bears. Went down and checked the camera. That was over the bait barrel. I think there was a bear that showed up earlier that day. So the nice thing was is there was bears showing up on camera religiously during daylight, but it was never like a set time.
Uh-huh.
Like one time it was a morning, and the next day it was early afternoon. But it was always a lot of daytime photos. There was a couple evening photos. And so it was just a matter of the waiting game.
Right.
And then the other kicker was is there was a big sow that had two cubs. And so it was just be mindful of making sure that she didn't come down there. So, like, if a bear showed up, it was have to watch her.
Yeah.
Make sure it wasn't her. Make sure it was try to be a boar.
Right. Did you go into this hunt thinking, are you going to take anything that's legal? Or did you have a set, be like, I want a big boar?
No, my mindset was just seeing a bear. Uh-huh. Was the ultimate goal.
Right.
If I was able to successfully harvest anything that was legal, that was the main thing.
Right.
It was completely open-minded.
Yeah.
I was open for whatever. And so, I mean, just making it there was the first goal. And then not dying trying to walk around up there was the second goal.
So, okay. Well, that's good. I mean, and that's the way – and that's another thing people thinking about going out west. You need to get your priorities straight because – I remember the first year I went out elk hunting, I was like, well, I'll shoot a cow, but I'm going to wait till like day four or day five or something like that. Now, no, I will shoot a calf.
Yep.
As long as it's legal, I'm going to shoot that thing.
Yep. If I would shoot it on the last day, I'm going to shoot it on the first day.
Yeah.
If it's legal, it's legal. I'm filling a tag because the tag was $400 and some when it was all said and done. I'm like, you know, I spent my hard-earned money on that. I want to come home with something.
Yeah. It'd be nice to come home with some meat.
Yeah.
So, no, I get that.
So, that was day one. Just the coyote. Other than that, I mean, it was just enjoying the scenery. It's surprising.
Taking it all in.
Yes. It's surprising how gorgeous it is. Like, this for my first experience being in a mountain, Idaho is ridiculously gorgeous.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
I mean, especially because it was the beginning of June, so it was still technically spring. But, I mean, it was gorgeous. I mean, there was still snow on tops of the mountains. Everything was melting. Mm. Creeks were ice cold. I mean, ice cold. It was just, I think I spent more time just looking around up in the trees, looking at the mountain, just looking at all kinds of stuff.
Mountains, when you're hunting in the mountains, they definitely make you understand how insignificant you are.
Yeah, you're very small out there.
Yes, you are a small person in a big world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just.
And it could eat you up.
Easily. I mean,
you know, It's a touch intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least it was for me my first year. Of course, I didn't have GPS either. I was like, there. So
it was
definitely intimidating from that aspect.
So, and then day two, we woke up, had some breakfast. Kind of, I guess with bear hunting, you don't have to get up super early. You can kind of, to me, it was more like a lazy man's camp, which was nice.
Oh, really?
I mean, just kind of wake up. And, I mean, in the bears that had been on camera, they hadn't been there before, like, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
So you didn't have to get up before dark.
That's
go hike up the mountain.
That's the kind of hunt Andy needs to do.
I mean,
I would take that. He is made for that.
I would take that, too.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice. I mean, sleep in, nice warm tent, underneath my nice quilt.
I was listening to.
Snuggled in.
Yeah.
I was, once again, listening to Working Class, and they were talking about elk hunting. Was it them? And maybe it wasn't them. One of their buddies, he doesn't start before sunrise because he doesn't start before he can walk where he sees.
So he wants to hunt his way in?
Yeah, because, in the dark, he's like, I could be walking through a herd or walking through one, don't even know it, and I've ruined the hunt for the day without knowing it.
Well, technically, we do that, too.
I hunt my way in.
Technically, we do that, too, though.
Yeah, we just have to get
– We have to
– Drive.
Yeah, we drive up to where we go. So, a little different, but I get what you're saying. And now that I'm thinking about it, how far of a hike is it from your camp to where you're hunting?
It's about 3/4 mile. I mean, not very far.
Okay, not
which
too
was nice.
Bad. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a lot further, and it should have been a lot further had it not been for the Beaver Dam washing out,
right,
and not being able to access that road
from the landowner. Yeah,
yeah. So the landowner was nice because that saved us probably like a mile and some change each day.
That is nice.
So it was nice. Day two, got up, had breakfast, kind of hung out, got our plan. Brandon and I went and hunted our spot. Emilio went and hunted his spot at a different area. Didn't see anything. In the morning, went over, had breakfast or had lunch over on by a tree, a couple hundred yards away from the bait barrel. Just hung out, and then had a couple of Merriam's turkeys.
Question: Why'd you leave?
I just backed off the bait barrel a little bit, just so like any noise from opening the meals and boiling the water. I mean, I could still see it, and it was still shootable. But it was just backed off just for the noise. And the wind was starting to swirl a little bit. So backed up further down the mountain a little bit. So any scent was going straight up the mountain instead of around the point and up that valley that we thought they were coming down. So that was the only reason.
Okay.
So, I mean, we could still hunt, but it was just back up a little bit just to chill out. So from, like, where I was setting to the bait barrel we were watching, it was like an 80-yard shot, 80, 80, 90 yards somewhere in there.
Okay. You know,
chip shot with a rifle for the most part.
Right.
So I had lunch, went back, took a nap. Best naps ever on our mountain.
They are. Mountain naps.
Yeah. Oh,
if you've never experienced a mountain
unless
nap.
Pat gives you a hard time for rubbing your jacket.
Yeah.
Making too much noise.
Loudest dude in camp. If you make anything noise up on the mountain, you're a dick, apparently.
No. I took a nice little nap. Brandon got some good photos of that. He's like, can't even take him hunting. He's over here sleeping.
Yep. So, you gotta have a mountain nap. Those are the best for sure.
They are amazing. So then I had a couple of Merriam's hens came putting down the mountain. Got to see them. That was cool. Just to see how white their feathers really are on the tips.
They're pretty,
They're
man.
They're gorgeous.
They really are.
So gorgeous. They saw me. They kind of ran back over the hill putting around whatever. And then a couple hours later they came back.
Really?
But we didn't see anything else that day. A couple squirrels. Now I understand why people are frustrated with those red squirrels.
Yep.
Dude, they... Oh, you got assholes. Those are red over there?
Yeah.
We got grays. They're grays.
I have no idea.
They're gray. They're not very red.
Care.
I know that.
Tiny little goose.
Little AHs.
But they are, fuck. They're so noisy.
They're
so
noisy.
And then they just everywhere. Just.
Yep. And they throw stuff at you. It's crazy.
But and they yell at you.
They do.
Just bark, 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 bark.
Yep.
And then you'd watch them. They'd run in and they'd go into the bait barrel, steal food, and come out. And then back forth. And there's one, he was a fat little dude. He'd go in, grab food, and he'd sit on the log.
Gee, wonder why.
He'd sit on the log, just, and his fat rolls would go over his legs, and he's just sitting there chewing. I'm watching him through the binoculation. I'm like, dude, you've got to be a couple-pound squirrel. Like, you're almost a meal.
This is a prize winner right
here. That's a mountain ops.
That's cool.
So that was day two. Day three, it started raining. Raining, and thunder and lightning. And I'm like, I'm not going to sit out in that underneath a giant pine tree. No, I don't want to be a lightning rod. I'm out.
So you haven't experienced a thunderstorm in the mountains yet?
That was
like
close.
In the middle of the...
No.
That is something different.
No, that was...
It's scary. It really is.
Andy and I, 2 years ago, actually got a little nervous. That last day when him and I decided to...
Go up trail, yeah.
And it started storming on us. We actually both were like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah. That second day, so like the weather said that it wasn't supposed to rain on us until like after 2. It rained until 2. And then it finally stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And then like to be able to finally realize how the weather works up there in the mountains. So like we were hunting where 3 valleys kind of came to 1. And so like the weather app was saying, oh, you're in the area you're in, you're not supposed to have anything. All the mountains are like, watch this. We're going to send it over this mountain range, and it's going to camp out on you all day. And then all of a sudden, it's going to disappear. And then it's going to come back. And then it's going to disappear. So that third day is just storming, raining. So we, the heck with it, went to the nearest town, had breakfast, got some supplies, went back, had lunch, hung out. And then that night, we went back into town, had some beers at a bar, hung out with a bar owner. Just hung out, got to meet a lot of the locals, which was really cool. I mean, everybody up there was real, real nice. I mean, people like our kind of people that you hang out with.
Yeah.
Real welcoming. Like, you're from Missouri, you drove all the way up here? And I'm like, yeah. Why? Because you guys have bears and we don't. Or we do, but I'm not going to get to hunt them.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Met a lot of nice people. Went back to camp that night. Then the next day I woke up, made some breakfast. Bear camp is definitely fat kid friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had originally went in with the intentions of we were eating freeze-dried meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
Now that we were able to drive to camp and had a stove.
Things changed.
Yeah. It was brisket tacos. I'd smoked a couple pork butts for 20-some hours. We had those pulled pork tacos one night for dinner.
Oh, nice.
It was good. There was no going without.
You weren't roughing it.
No. Not for camp food. So since it rained that much that day, Emilio went and hunted with Brandon and I. So we started out that morning watching the bait barrel. Nothing came in, and then like around noon, I see a little patch of fur move. I'm like, what is that? I grab binoculars, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's a bear. So then it comes wandering up.
And I was like, hey, show me your dick.
It comes wandering up to the bait barrel. And so, like, if you think the bait barrel is a 55-gallon drum. Uh-huh. So like, if you're familiar how it's got a couple rings on it.
Yep.
That's how you can really judge the size on a bear.
Okay.
So, like, the first or bottom ring, anything under that, it's cub, small.
Right.
Second ring would be a good 100, 150, maybe pound bear, an okay-sized bear. And then that third ring would be a good-sized bear, one that would definitely be a shooter. And then anything taller than the barrel is definitely a shooter. So they came walking in, and their backs were, like, even with that first ring. Well, okay. That first one I saw, a little black bear, white patch on his chest. I mean, just cool little critter. So when you bait a barrel, you cut a hole in it, throw your bait in there, and then you shove, like, a log in there to try to keep all the other animals out, and then it makes them work it.
Right.
This log was probably 10, 12 inches in diameter, maybe 8, 9 feet long. I mean, it's a heavy log. It grabbed that thing and just ripped it out of the hole like it was nothing. I was just like, good Lord. And then just to watch him reach in there and just start chowing down on it. Well, then all of a sudden, here comes another patch of fur. Little cinnamon-colored bear. Those are the two cubs. And I'm like, all right, well, where's Mom?
Right.
Because she's a very aggressive sow. Like, she'd been running a lot of boars off. So it was just kind of keep your head on a swivel.
And you knew this from the trail cameras?
Yep, from the trail cam photos that Brandon had been having. It was just... So, meaning they had been showing up almost daily.
Yeah.
So, we knew we should have been seeing bears. They just hadn't been showing up yet. We just didn't know why. I think the one day the wind was swirling when it was raining. And just our scent pushed them out. So, watch the cubs. They're down there chowing down, wrestling, fighting. I'm looking around for Mom because, I mean, Mom's not legal to shoot because she's got her cubs. But just...
A little nervous.
There's a predator that size because in the photos, she was taller than the 55-gallon drum. So, she's a big bear.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of keep your head on a swivel, look for her. Like, where is she at? Where is she at? She never shows up. They're down there. They dick around for a solid hour. An hour.
Cleaning that barrel out.
Yeah, they're going to town. And, like, I got – I think when I saw the first bear, the first cub come out, that was, like, when I got the most excited, like, the adrenaline and stuff, almost like buck fever.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, I knew I wasn't going to shoot it because it was so small.
You're like, it's happening. There's bears.
You know? And so it was like I got familiar with looking at it through the scope. You know,
you're wondering which one's next. Like, what's next?
Yeah.
Same with deer. You see a doe. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's just that first time I've ever seen a bear that wasn't in a zoo or anything like that. So that was just that initial adrenaline. And then once I was able to settle down, you know, just look through them in the scope. Ask questions. You know, I'm like, all right, if I was going to shoot it, where am I aiming?
Hey.
You know, put it on the shoulders, put it behind the shoulders.
Right.
Listen to other podcasts, and granted, he's saying, like, if you're an archery hunter, middle of the middle. You know, middle of the body, middle height-wise, that's a good solid double lung, you'll be fine. When you're gun hunting, you don't need to do that. Just kind of tuck it in that crease in the shoulder just like you would a whitetail. Be a solid double lung shot all day. So I got familiar and got to watch them wrestle around, which I think settled me down a lot. And I was just able to kind of watch them get used to them. And then they disappeared. Well, then the wind started picking up, and our wind was blowing our scent towards the bait barrel. So it was, we made the decision to kind of pick up and move.
Mm-hmm.
And where we were at, there was three ravines.
Were you on the ground?
Yeah, sitting on the ground, chilling behind this dead log. So where we were at, three ravines kind of came down to one, followed this creek. So we had an idea that they had been coming down this one ravine. We thought we knew roughly where a couple bears had some dens at up on this one mountainside they did. So we picked up, probably moved, I don't know, a couple hundred yards, 300-400 yards off the bait barrel up this ditch. Got set up. Couldn't even see the bait barrel or nothing by this point, but the wind was good for us in this spot, so that way we weren't blowing the barrel out for if we had to go back to it the next day. So I'm laying down behind this dead tree. Brandon's laying over in the sun. He said he wasn't sleeping, but I'm pretty sure he was taking a nice power nap. Emilio's on his phone. I think he was watching a video or something. And I just picked my head up and looked down the ravine every so often. And one time I picked my head up and I just caught a glimpse of fur moving. And I jumped up real quick and I grabbed my gun and I'm looking. I smack Emilio on the leg and I'm like, I think there's a bear. Sure enough, he looks and he's like, that's a bear. He's like, that's a shooter bear. I'm like, you sure? And he's like, shoot it. Okay. Bear comes walking out behind a couple trees and he's looking around. I'm like, you know, is there anything with it? Amelia's like, no, that's not that sow. That's because she was a good, she was almost like a tri-colored. So she was black, had some cinnamon on her, and she had a good white patch on her chest. So she was real distinct. This was not that bear. And so Amelia's like, shoot it. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's, shoot it. He came walking out, looked around. I just found that crease in the shoulder and just shot. And the next thing I know, I see the bear jump, roll, and take off running. And this whole time, I've had a Tacticam on the barrel of my gun.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what I forgot to turn on?
The Tacticam.
I'm well aware of how that works.
Yeah.
So I shoot this bear, and it takes off, and I'm just, like, speechless. Like, I mean, I saw this bear for maybe all of 10 seconds.
Right.
It might have been longer than that, but it felt like it just happened immediately. And so I'm just like, holy shit.
It happened.
I just shot a bear.
I just shot a bear.
I just shot a bear. And like, you know, let's chill out because I didn't hear it death moan or anything like that. I guess if you get a good solid double lung shot, when the bear dies, it'll let out this moan.
I've heard like of that. I've heard.
I don't know if it'll sound like that. But
hey, bear.
We didn't hear nothing. So it was just kind of hang out, pack up everything. Because by that time, when we'd moved, I'd kind of set all my stuff out in my bag and my
water.
Was that
about the time you started doing a bunch of bullshit teaser pictures?
I started taking them, but I didn't have any service. So then it was get everything packed up and then walk down there. So then it was like, all right, where was he standing when you shot? And I'm like, he's right in here somewhere. Well, then it was found first blood. I was like, all right. Well, then he went this way. But then you have to keep your head on a swivel because you just shot a predator.
Right.
That can easily kill you.
Yeah.
And it's wounded.
Yeah. Probably pissed.
Probably
if
pissed
it's not
off
dead.
If it's not dead. So then it was just like, all right, here's blood. Here's blood. It had hit a small tree and rolled over it, so there's blood all up the tree. So I'm taking pictures of all this stuff, and then we're standing there because blood just disappears. I'm like, I know I had a solid hit on that bear. I'm like, where is this bear at? Brandon, Emilio, and I are about this close together, and we're standing there, and then probably about where your pool cues are.
So about 5 yards.
Yeah. Emilio's like, I think that's your bear. I'm like, I hope he's dead. He's not. We're in trouble. Go over there and poke it with the barrel of the rifle and get ready to shoot if I had to. I mean, he's done. He didn't go 20. I mean, legitimately. He
didn't go 20.
Didn't go 20. I mean, it was cool. And then to actually get to looking at him.
Yeah.
This bear hadn't been on trail camera. No pictures of him as far as I know from this year. Who knows about last year. So just some random bear came cruising down.
That's awesome.
So it was get our hands on him, get some pictures of him, try to figure out what I wanted to do with him because I had thought about, like, if I had killed one, you know, if it was like a typical black bear, right. maybe a rug mount. But this guy, I mean, he was black on the face, but he was real chocolate, like borderline cinnamon color, but he had a huge white patch on his chest. And that's kind of real distinct for Idaho in general. Yeah. A lot of bears have that white patch on their chest. So then it was like, all right, well, I kind of want to do a shoulder mount, but right behind each of his front legs, he was damn near rub bald.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it almost looked like, it reminded me of a coyote with mange, really? But it was just right behind the shoulders on both sides. But I couldn't have even seen that whenever I shot him.
Yeah.
Just because I was so focused on him in general. So then it was, how do we skin it out so we don't screw it up? And I wasn't for sure. Because, like, I've never had anything legitimately shoulder-mounted before. All my stuff is European mounts, or my Predators are all full-body mounts.
Right.
And so then we were like, well, we can either skin it out part way here and then pack him out, or we can just pack him out. So thankfully, Brandon had an old pack frame, and we ratchet strapped a bear to a pack frame. And Brandon packed it out probably almost a half mile to get to where we were on the Forest Service Road. And then we dropped it off and then went up to our landowner's house. And he had a Gator UTV or whatever. And he said, you get it to the Forest Service Road on this side of the creek. He goes, I'll come down and pick it up, which was awesome. That was a lifesaver.
Yeah, I bet.
So that was whenever I had the teaser picks. And I was just like, I'm going to tease some of you guys.
Yeah, you did.
Send them out. Walk back down the mountain.
Were you using a DSLR camera? Because those were good pictures.
No, just good old iPhone.
Just your iPhone.
Good old iPhone.
Good-looking photos.
So how much did this bear weigh?
Show me how the hell you do that.
I got lucky. So legitimately,
they look good.
Portrait mode.
Snapchat takes better pictures than my camera. Like if you go into camera mode.
Well, then I'm screwed.
Yeah, you have to get the old Snapchat. Not gonna just for that reason.
Yeah.
So it was walk back down there, get the bear on the other side of the creek. Now, keep in mind, this creek that we had been crossing, originally, I had been taking my boots off and putting on my Crocs to cross it, and it was maybe mid-shin deep, ice cold. Like, felt great when you were sweating your ass off.
Right.
But then, after all the rain we'd had, it went from shin deep to damn near knee deep. I was like, oh, well, I'm done taking my boots off going across, and I didn't have any gaiters yet. Mm-hmm. That'd be the next thing I invest in is a nice set of gaiters.
Yeah.
So then instead of Brandon packing the whole thing, we all three of us just grabbed a part of this frame and started carrying it out and got it across the creek, dropped it off on the road, and then our landowner showed up with the gator, and they threw it in there and then got it to climb up the steep-ass hill and get it to his house.
That's awesome. So how much do you guys think he weighed?
Brandon's saying every bit over 250.
Wow.
I'd say 250, 300, somewhere
and
in that range.
Is that an average bear, good bear, that's bad bear?
Good bear.
Good bear.
Average bear, he said, would be somewhere between 150 to 200. This was a good bear.
Okay.
So, I mean, and just from, like, judging from when I was looking at the cubs to the bait barrel, and my scope has the BDC lines in it, so I could kind of get a rough idea as to how big the barrel was on a certain magnification. I never changed the magnification. When I looked at that bear, I would say if he was, like, up against the barrel, if we'd have been there, he'd probably been, like, that third ring or right at the top. And he was a good-sized bear.
That's cool.
But they do have, like, some serious ground shrinkage when you get up to them because they're not all fluffed out.
Yeah.
Their fur just kind of stands down a little bit.
Because they're dead.
It helps.
You let the air out of them, man.
Yeah. I definitely let the air out of him. He, big old hole. Entrance was great, but exit, I was like, what in the hell? You shove almost your fist in there.
Oh, wow.
It was ridiculous.
Did the job.
Yeah. So then it was get it up to the truck, tag it, finish the tagging process at the truck, did the initial tagging down at the bear so we could carry it out, get it tagged out, and then he's got a buddy who's a taxidermist up there. So then it was take him to him because I was like, I'm not for sure what I want to do. I was like, I need some ideas because some of my ideas were thrown out the window due to where he was bald at on both sides.
Yeah.
A full, like, shoulder mount, you would have seen that.
Okay. And you don't want to do a rug because
don't want to do a rug because those big bald spots are going to show.
Right.
But I wanted to showcase that white patch on his chest and that you wouldn't have been able to see the whole thing with a rug mount. You'd have seen part of it on the left and part of it on the right, not the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to showcase the animal for what he was worth. I mean,
right.
A lot of hard work and effort went into it. So we got to the taxidermist, kind of gave me some ideas, picked out a shoulder mount that won't show where he was bald at. Okay. So it'll be just like right at the middle of the shoulder blade, if you want to imagine that. But it'll showcase that whole front white patch on his chest.
It's pretty cool.
Getting a European mount, getting the skull beetle cleaned, getting his claws back with it, which will be cool.
That will be cool. That's pretty bad.
You're
going to make a necklace out of it?
I think so.
Necklace or bracelet or something like that? Bear's, walk around like a badass?
Bear skull would look really cool here.
You guys are going to have to get on board.
Get our own.
Get on board.
Yeah. Kill your own.
So then it was, after you kill a bear, you have to take it to the fishing game and get it checked because they have to pull a tooth.
Okay.
So that way they can age it.
Okay.
Thankfully, the taxidermist, he had to go to fishing game the next day anyways. So he's like, I'll take it and take care of it for you, which was nice. So I didn't get to experience that side of it. And then fishing game, I guess they ask you all kinds of questions. You know, how'd you kill it? Where'd you kill it? If you killed it over a bait barrel, they want coordinates for it. If you spot and stalked it, they just want the general area.
Hmm.
So technically, since we weren't over the bait barrel anymore, it was really a spot and stalk pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
So we did that way, and then 30-06. They say ask calibers, I guess, that keep all kinds of data on that stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll find out the age of that bear in a couple of years.
Oh, that's pretty cool. In a couple of years?
Yeah, they're a little backed up.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, not anytime soon.
Well, I remember the damn hunt by that time.
Hopefully.
Remember that bear you killed 14 years ago?
Yeah. He was seven.
He was seven.
Yeah. Or whatever. I don't know how old bears get.
Who knows? I'm excited to find out how old he is. The whole hunt was exciting. And then to get the taxidermy side of it taken care of, and then we quartered it up. That way I can bring all the meat back home that I wanted.
Right.
So technically, in Idaho, you don't have to bring the meat home if you don't want to.
Really?
Yeah, because bears carry trichinosis.
Right.
Yep.
So you got to make sure you cook the meat all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to wind up with some
bad stuff.
Awesome stuff. So brought home all the quarters, neck meat, back straps, total weight of everything quartered. I didn't debone it. When I dropped it off at the processors, it was 66 pounds.
Okay.
So, I mean, a good chunk of meat.
Yeah.
Then I had them turned into brats, two flavored brats, and then had them cut the back straps up into steaks. I just picked those up last week, and I haven't even got to try them yet.
Really?
Yeah. That'd be like the first thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because he brought us some.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you guys are good to try them. I'm probably going to try some tomorrow night. If not, I'll take some back to Colorado with me so I can have some out there.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah.
Got to, for sure. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Gets me excited. Makes me want to go bear hunting, that's for sure.
I'm hunting right now.
You are?
Yeah, he is. He's hunting some...
A fly.
He keeps cruising around.
Yeah, he's pissed me off. So I got... Dude, I'm telling you, this is one of the coolest purchases, by the way, in the world. We should get sponsored by them.
The old salt shooter.
The bug assault. It's a freaking salt gun. I can plow through flies. Because having four kids, those little shits leave doors open all the time, and flies get in the house.
Yep.
And I can plow through dozen flies in a matter of 2 minutes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It'd take me full day to hunt them with the damn fly swatter.
See, I figured I'd just be a good attention getter. Kids start acting up.
It probably would be.
I should try that. But now that I've got the bug assault, my son brought it down to me. I don't see the damn fly anymore.
Nah, he's gone. He knows he's in trouble.
Assault weapon. I'm getting out of here.
Ba-dunch. That's the second one I gave you today.
Right.
Get it? Assault weapon. Yep. That's an awesome story. I mean, I knew we wanted to hear it. That's for sure.
That was cool. It was a blast. I can't thank my wife enough for letting me go on that adventure.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
I mean, that's... To me, I thought it was just going to be a once-in-a-lifetime trip.
Right.
I mean, now it's not. Obviously, I'm going to go back more.
That's how it always
goes.
That's how it starts.
That's the thing. That's, like, my wife...
That's first, how they get you.
And I've probably told this story on the show, but my wife... got me my first elk hunt or whatever. It was kind of a
Christmas
surprise
present.
Yeah, it was a Christmas present deal. And Albert, the guy that he's been going out there for however long.
My father-in-law.
Like, yeah, your father-in-law. He's like, I know she just got through the one-time thing, but I'm just letting you know now you're going to be coming back. Yeah. And sure enough, I haven't missed a year yet. So once you go out west, it's kind of hard not to not go. I mean – you want to go every year.
Yep.
It's so much fun out there. It's so different. Just being out there, it's a mind reset.
Yeah,
you get
that's
out there
for sure.
And it's just gorgeous. The,
you come back,
everything's
de-stressed.
Different. Yeah.
You're a different person when you come back.
Yeah, you're away from your phone for however many days you're out there because 90
– yeah.
I haven't been out there. Right. Well,
have
we
Wi-Fi.
Are,
and it's fun.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's nice to get away and not have service for 10 days or however long you're out there. It really is. It's nice to get away from everything. Sure, you miss your family. That can be rough, but it's worth it in the long run. So, because I know I come back refreshed, rejuvenated, and ready to take on whatever responsibilities I really have. So, but I'm glad you got to experience that, man. It sounds like you had a hell of a time.
It was a blast. Gorgeous scenery. Driving out there was probably the worst part. Driving through Nebraska was probably the worst part just because it was so boring.
Nebraska is like Kansas, dude. It's boring as hell.
Yeah. Kansas is extremely boring.
Yeah.
Nebraska's worse.
Is it?
Because Kansas, you at least drive through the Flint Hills.
Part of it. But I was on I-80, and it was boring until I got into the river bottoms.
Yep.
And then I was going to say Nebraska and then it started getting bad gorgeous. Spots either. Yeah.
And then once I got on the western part of Nebraska, I started seeing antelope. So yep. I'm like, all right, this is the first time I've ever seen one of these guys.
And if you're ever in the southwest part of Nebraska, which I know you weren't, and like the very far northwest part of Kansas, it's like a different damn country up there. You got it. I mean, just someday, if you ever are going through, you need to check out that. It's like these mini mountains just all over the place in those two states. It's really cool. Yeah, he's going to die. Don't worry. He just – maybe I need to hide the gun.
So then it was just seeing antelope, you know, seeing how big the bucks can really get and seeing that their antler growth or whatever you want to call them, their horn growth.
Right.
And then seeing the does, seeing how they have little bitty horns, and then saw a couple little antelope running around, which that was cool. And then seeing my first mountain that still had snow on it, and I'm just like, Jesus, look how big this thing is.
I mean,
is.
This is like everything was new for you.
Yeah.
That's the cool. Like yeah. I've been to the Colorado. I went to vacations when I was a kid out there before, or whatnot.
Right.
No, this is
I've seen the mountains.
All new to me, and I think that was probably what put it over the top on experience. But it was amazing.
Bye, bitch.
Got it.
That was awesome.
Bug Assault.
Sponsor.
Bugassault.com.
Sponsoring Missouri Woods and Water.
Make sure you get the Bug Assault 2, the second one.
Upgraded.
Yeah, mine's the gray one. Charcoal death.
Charcoal death.
Yeah. No, it was definitely a blast. I definitely think if you're ever thinking about doing it or making it one of those bucket list hunts, just do it.
Yeah.
Save your money, pinch your pennies, get an extra part-time job, do whatever you got to do. Just do it.
I mean, you got pretty lucky in the fact that you had a buddy out there. So.
I mean, that was if it wouldn't have been for him and saying, hey, man, come on up, you know, and basically hosting me and showing me around and showing me how everything works. I mean, I highly doubt I would have been successful.
Right.
Which, I mean, is nice. But the kicker, like, I'd never met him before I actually went up there. I mean, we talked on Facebook for a couple of years, but never met him, like, in person.
Yeah.
Chelsea was like, how do you know he's not going to kill you? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't.
This is the longest catfish ever.
I'm like, if you don't hear from me, you'll know where my location is.
Everything I was saying earlier right back into this situation, but I'll keep it cool.
Probably best.
But no, it was a blast.
That's awesome. I mean, that's really what the outdoor world's about. I mean, new experiences, new things.
New friendships.
I mean, we've experienced new friendships going out west. This last year, I mean, we had a new friend on our show. We've got a couple other guys that we'd like to have on the show that we became friendly with. We've experienced a lot of new friends through this podcast, obviously. We've gotten closer to you, yeah. I mean, in this podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that's what the outdoors is about. And not only did you successfully did that, you also killed a damn bear.
Yeah.
So that's pretty nice because I'll be honest, I like you guys, but I'm just ready to kill an elk.
No.
At this point.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I get it.
I would throw away my friendship with you at this point for elk.
I will throw you off the mountain if it gives me an opportunity to kill an elk. I get it.
So, Ethan, congrats, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You want to shout out to anybody for...
Just Brandon and Emilio for putting up with me. I told them now they're stuck with me. Like, so, whether it be bear hunting, there's some OTC units for mule deer. So they might
really
be,
might, they might got over the counter mule deer, huh?
Yeah, a couple different units.
That's cool.
I told them worst case they draw a nice unit. Oh, I'll be a pack mule. I don't care.
Yeah,
let me come back.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's
just an excuse to go back for sure,
and just to learn. I mean, that's a whole different style of hunting.
Than oh yeah, I've
yeah.
Ever done?
Yeah,
yeah. Idaho actually has some OTC elk units.
Yep. You're so. in some nasty spots.
I've heard, nasty spots.
Yeah.
Isn't that where Garen goes? Or is he? No, he went to...
No, Utah.
Yeah, he went to Utah. So, okay, I was wrong. Whatever.
All right, Ethan, since Andy's not here, why don't you do the dad joke?
Oh,
I mean, you can pick any one of them, but I was just going to do the first one or whatnot. There's another freaking fly.
Oh, let's see here.
Hold on. Okay, ready to go.
Oh, I don't like that one, how it ends. It says, I just found out I'm colorblind. It says the news came out of the purple, but I figured it'd be the news came out of the blue.
That's okay. The point.
I just don't like it.
Do I need to teach you? Do I need to teach you how to do a dad joke?
I mean, you could try.
Don't.
I mean,
I'm going to butcher them every week.
I'm going to be your father around
you
here, okay?
You ruin
you're
every
my child.
Freaking dad joke.
Every week.
You know, Andy, on the spot. You're my child. Yeah. So, since you're my child, what does a baby computer call his father?
No idea.
Dada. All right. We're going to end the show. I'm going to kill another fly. So, your boy's got anything else? What, Micah?
No, I was going
to
make a joke.
What shit you have to talk? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I want to hear it.
I'll save it for the next one.
I'd really just prefer it today. Do you have a good one?
Who may... What? How did it go? I can't even remember how it went now.
Got him all flustered.
Yeah, you got me frustrated.
I'm holding a gun.
It's too long now. We got to... This is the Missouri way.
No, we don't have a time limit. You can still get it in.
I know I can, but I can't remember how it goes now. I'm just going to sound like an idiot.
I know. That's why I want to do it to you.
Okay, well, I'm just going to sit here in silence, and you're going to be a dick.
I guess you can try it next week.
Yep.
All right. Ethan, thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys.
Bye.
See you.